Blog Talk Radio. This broadcast is brought to you by www.lessonsfromthelightradio.com. Did you know that you can connect with our host on the internet? You can at www.twitter.com/AmiraHall, facebook.com/AmiraHall, and youtube.com/AmiraHall.
Good morning. This is Amira calling, coming to you live from San Diego, California, in the sunshine, and hopefully sending it all your way, and that you can receive that. Today we're going to step into a little bit more light, I hope, as you open yourselves to receiving some information with my special guest today, Doctor. I'm not sure if he's got his doctorates yet, but let's see. Maybe that's in the cards
for you. No doctor.
Okay, well,
just a regular person.
Okay, well, I see you as a doctor, so you've probably got some profound information.
Well,
that...
I used to be a doctor, but I gave it up because I would rather not be credentialed by the system. I'd rather be credentialed by the divine spirit of a living universe. So,
is that true?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I am picking up that you are a doctor.
Well, I used to be a licensed psychotherapist, and people used to call me doctor all the time. But I gave all that up because I don't want to be part of that system anymore.
Okay,
anyway,
we just broke up my beautiful shift of the ages is happening right now as we're talking. I had a nice little intro plan for you, Jack, but you're such a wonderful guy. You're able to just bounce in and support me and where I need help, and I really appreciate that. I can't help myself, Jack, but I want to say Dr. Jack is...
You may call me Dr. Jack if you choose.
He's a true Renaissance man who has dedicated his life for the last 40 years in seeking out diverse and non-traditional knowledge, which touches virtually every area of life, including holistic health, philosophy, and spirituality. And Jack Alice, our special guest today, is a personal growth and spiritual teacher, an author of the novel Infinity's Flower, A Tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of the Ages. Infinity's Flower is an epic thriller dealing with these monumental shifts of time that we're in right now, shifting energy and the challenges facing the forces of light, a new world. So he travels extensively, delivering his message, awakening souls as that he reaches with groundbreaking and charts and chants and presentations to expand your awareness. And so as you step into that today, let's just open ourselves to receiving Jack Alice.
Good morning to you. Good afternoon for me. It's an honor to be here, Amira.
Well, thank you so much, Jack, and it looks like we're having fun already, and I certainly very much appreciate that. And just before the show, Jack shared with me that he's got a whole bunch of secrets and new information that he wants to share with us. And, of course, I'm like a little kid, you know, just before Christmas, let's open the presents before Christmas. Why wait? So
okay, I didn't say a secret. I said surprises. Let me share. I don't want to be the guest who monopolizes the agenda. I never want to be that person. But there's some things here, Amira, that I don't think you know. And then let me. It has to do with how I was guided to you, and then it also has to do with once I was guided to you, I was then from that point guided somewhere else that ended up having a tremendous impact upon me, both personally and professionally. I started getting your emails. I don't know how. I had never heard of you before, but I started getting your emails maybe about 3 months ago. And don't know how that happened, but they really kind of sparkled a little bit. I kind of liked them. I looked at them, and I thought, this looks kind of cool, and maybe I can be on our show someday. And then I kept reading them. And then when about 2 months ago you had on Eric Gonzalez, the elder with who is the founder and the spiritual leader of the group called Earth Peoples United. And I hadn't ever been on an internet radio. I've done a lot of these as a guest, you know, like I'm doing here with you today. I've done about 30 of them in the last year and a half. But I'd never just gone on another show and listened to somebody else, you know, talk about the shift and talk about the same thing. So I saw Eric Gonzalez, Mayan Elder, and all that stuff about Eric. And I went to his website. I was very impressed. So I decided to go on that show that day and just listen. so I scheduled my whole day around it. And Eric resonated with me so totally in terms of his message as well as what he was doing. It was just an absolute 100% resonance. And I said to myself, this is it. I mean, you know, I've been, you know, I'm always looking for, you know, teachers and answers and spiritual wisdom and those sorts of things. And so I found out about Eric's ceremonial gathering that he was having at Deer Mountain in California the first week in August. And it was a no-brainer for me. I was going, and I went. And so I spent 4 days with Eric and his group, Earth Peoples United, at Deer Mountain, which is about an hour north of Mount Shasta in California. 4 days of nothing but ceremony from sunrise to sunset, and there was even, you know, one evening where we didn't even sleep. We stayed up all night around the fire and just did ceremony. And it was a very, very meaningful connection for me. The resonance with Eric and with his message and with this group of people was absolutely perfect. This is something that I've been looking for a while. And so not only was that four-day period absolutely miraculous for me, but I'm now also going to, they're having another event in Guatemala in November, and I'm going to be going to Guatemala in November. And the thing that's so cool about what Eric's doing is he's doing two what he calls land stewardship programs. And basically what that means is he's forming sustainable, he and his group are forming sustainable communities at both these sites, at the Deer Mountain site in Northern California in the mountains, as well as in Guatemala at a place called Patsiapa, which is at the base of the San Pedro volcano on the shores of Lake, oh gosh, I forget the name of the lake. It's called Lake Titicaca or something like that. I haven't learned all the names yet. So going there in November, and I really feel in many ways as though in this context, I've kind of found my tribe, and I've kind of found a group with which I can connect. You know, I've had my message for a long time, and I have a little bit of a, I have a small passionate following myself, and I've always been in search of something, you know, bigger, something bigger than this and something bigger than me. And I believe that I have discovered it. So thank you, Amira. You don't even know any of this, I don't think, but you've played a very important role in my life, and you didn't even do anything.
Well,
you just were, that's all.
Well, it is all about being, isn't it? That comes down to, and I want to share with you, Jack, I don't know if you remember meeting me or if it even was you, but I went to an event. It was the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles about a year ago.
Okay.
You had a booth there.
Okay.
And that's where I met Deborah Giusti with the book that we're all participating in is Transforming Through 2012. Her representative was there, and I couldn't even find Deborah. She and I had go back a long ways. But when I saw that, I knew in that instant that I needed to be part of that whole community in the book and sharing the message also. But I briefly talked to you because I was talking at that time about creating a movie. So you were on my you were on my back burner.
All right.
That's how we all came together, I do believe. Now, I don't remember adding you to my email list or what, but I knew maybe it's because of the 2012.
Well, I think we have a mutual friend that might have done that. I did a radio show with somebody who said, I've got to turn you on to a friend of mine. I think she'd really, really be into this. And she may have been the one who did that.
You know, and what this is also wonderful and speaking to is the connecting the dots. And it seems as though that this whole new world that we're stepping into is all about that, connecting dots. And
well,
connecting
I think it's also about following guidance. And I attempt these days to live my life almost entirely by virtue of following guidance. In other words, I just wait for the divine spirit to tell me what to do next. And sometimes I don't hear anything for a while, in which case I just, you know, keep doing what I'm doing. And every once in a while I'll get a signal, which is pretty much is, you know, do this or do that. And it sounds simple, and, you know, once you get good at it, it is. You know, just following the guidance. There's omens and there's guidance there for all of us all the time. It's just a question of having the proper opening to that guidance, you know, vibrationally, you know, so that we can pick it up and channel it and then, you know, go where it's guiding us to go. So
tuning in and then trusting it.
Yeah, and flowing with it. Absolutely. When I heard Eric that day, there was no doubt. It was instantaneous. I said, I'm going to Deer Mountain. I have to meet these people, and that's all there is to it. I don't care how much it costs. I don't care, you know. It was just, I knew it with every fiber of myself.
Right. And a lot of people are being connected to the native traditional path. I'm very drawn to Egypt, and Egypt keeps pulling me back there, although it's all perfect. You know, we're all being supported and directed where we need to be. So, you know, let's talk about this shift and what is really going on. I know there's a lot of talk, and there's a big movie coming that's going to be launched in a few weeks, and, you know, there's a lot of hype around it. Let's get to the real deal. What is it? What is your interpretation of what the shift is?
Well, let's get into some things that I think are really important that people really need to know about all this. And, you know, one of the things I always like to start with, Amira, is whenever we talk about this, I like to ask people when they hear this information to simply, you know, kick back, relax, breathe. People may hear, whenever we talk about the shift, people very often hear things that make them uncomfortable. Because we're talking about our world that we're so familiar with. We're talking about it changing, and we're talking about it changing very, very dramatically. In other words, the world that we are all so familiar with and have been living with for a long time is in the process of changing, and we're on the verge of the possibility of birthing an entirely new and, believe me, much, much better world. And very often when, you know, people hear that their world is going to be changing, they flip out a little bit. People become frightened, they become apprehensive, they begin thinking it's doomsday or, you know, whatever it is. So I think it's very important that people simply relax and breathe and take in as much of this as you can possibly take in. You may not get it all today. You may need to listen to this, you know, on an archive or, you know, get some other information about this. But the thing I want to start with, it's very important for people to be aware of the fact that this is not doomsday. And people really need to hear that. It's the opposite of doomsday, that we have an absolutely miraculous and blessed opportunity here, one that comes along every 26,000 years or so, and we haven't gotten it right yet. You know, this has come and gone a few times now, and on previous occasions, the human race...
Some of us are slow, Jack.
I'm sorry?
Some of us are slow.
Well, okay. I don't know if that's slow, but... This is a miraculous and blessed opportunity to create an entirely new world, and people need to hear that part of it. And also, people also might need to begin to start thinking about letting go a little bit, as far as a lot of the a lot of people are, you know, clinging to the old paradigm, and they don't want to let go of the old paradigm. What this is all about is that the old paradigm cannot sustain itself. It's built upon a very, very fundamentally rotten foundation. It's built upon the foundation of materialism, and it's built upon the foundation of controlling the forces of nature, you know, as opposed to harmonizing with them. And any world that is built upon that kind of a foundation cannot possibly sustain itself. So one of the things that we need to start looking at is we need to start looking at the fact that the collapse of this world is an absolute blessing, because it presents us with an opportunity to create something much, much better, and to create something that's built upon the proper foundation. And the proper foundation to build the new world is the foundation of our spirituality and our higher consciousness, which, as far as the old paradigm is concerned, those two things are put, you know, very far on the back burner. The other thing that people absolutely need to know about the shift is there's a lot of talk about December 21st, 2012. There's a lot of talk about the ending of the Mayan calendar. And I think this movie that you were referring to is actually entitled 2012. And it's going to be a big-time doomsday movie also. This is going to be... At least that's what I'm picking up from what I've heard and from what I've seen. But what people need to hear is people need to kind of detach themselves from particular dates as far as predictions and stuff like that are concerned. There were many, many prophecies. The Mayans were only one. I don't mean to diminish the Mayans. Certainly the Mayan prophecies are absolutely, you know, amazing. But the Mayans were only one, and there were many, many other indigenous prophecies, and they all referred more to this time in general, as opposed to any particular date. And I even believe the Mayan elders, and I believe Eric Gonzalez, who was a Mayan elder, would agree with this, that what we're talking about here is not, you know, everything happening, you know, at midnight on December 21st, 2012, boom, you know, we're going to have this shift is all going to happen like fireworks or something like that. People need to start thinking about this in terms of not a particular date, but as a window of time around that date. And in my opinion, we really don't know how big the window is. A lot of people think it's a really big window, like 50 years on either side. And a lot of people think the window's a lot smaller. I happen to think that the window's a lot smaller. I think we're dealing with perhaps 3 years on either side of December 21st, 2012 is when things are really going to be popping. And that's the precisely the time period, the time frame that we're entering right now. We've got a little over 3 years until that date. And the other thing that people need to know about this as far as the time frames and the dates are concerned is the shift has already started. This is a gradual process. It's a window of time. It's already started. The shift is all about a shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields, basically, is what we're dealing with. And we are already started. We're already in the midst of it. So what I like to emphasize in that context is, to whatever degree, you know, people are really preoccupied with particular dates and predictions, I think the only date we really need to be thinking about in the context of all this is today, now, because there's no point in waiting for something that's going to happen in the future, because we're in the middle of it now, it's happening now, so whatever work we need to do in relationship to this, it's time to do it now.
Well, and that's so much the paradigm is that everybody's thinking everything's outside of themselves, so now we're all focused on the calendar, the movies, what everybody is saying about it, rather than tuning in and you know, really getting acquainted with who they are and what it is that they're all about.
Well, and you know, Amiri, it always comes back to that, and that I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is another part of this that people need to hear. When we talk about the shift, and when we talk about this opportunity to create the new world of light and spirit, where this all begins, for individual people may look at this and say, well, okay, fine, it all sounds great, but you know, what can I do? You know, I want to play my part in creating the new world of light and spirit. What can I do? And the answer to each and every person who says that is always the same. It all starts within the heart, and it all starts within the spirit of each and every one of us. We are talking about a spiritual process here. Creating the new world of light and spirit, we're going to be doing this through a process that is referred to as ascension, which is purely a spiritual process. And when we think about, you know, the methods that we're going to use to create the new world of light and spirit, we're going to be using our spiritual methods to do this, our higher consciousness methods to do this, our out-of-body methods to do this, if you will, our energy bodies as opposed to our physical bodies. So this is a spiritual thing, the spiritual thing that we're talking about. So what people need to do is they need to begin with, you know, getting their own spirituality right, you know, getting their own spiritual energy properly aligned, and it all starts there. And once people get that part of it right, it's at that point where they will be guided to wherever else they might need to be in this whole process, you know, whether it's Guatemala or whether it's Deer Mountain or whether it's, you know, in the middle of a city someplace. So that's where it all begins, and that's what it's all about.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and, you know, I've been on the journey, as you have, for a very long time, and we understand it's not an overnight process, you know, but I do see that more and more people are awakening their intuitive abilities, but they don't trust them, and they don't know what to do with them oftentimes. So, you know, that is sort of a sign or a clue in my mind that, yeah, you're shifting, and so now we need to take responsibility for, well, how about our thoughts and where that's going, what that's creating. If we're focusing on doomsday, you betcha we're going to get that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And as far as learning to trust that inner wisdom, that inner guidance that you're talking about, learning to trust themselves, that all, too, is a function of merely staying on the path, you know, staying on the path of spirituality, staying on the path of one's ascension. It's all a function of that because, you know, when people awaken to this, at the beginning of this process, it's always going to be more hard to trust because this is something that they're not familiar with yet. So it does take a little bit of work and it does take a little bit of persistence. But I can guarantee for those people who stay on the path, it becomes clearer and clearer and their ability to trust it.
And what are your sources of this information?
Well, we know this in so many different ways from so many different enforced in this when I met with Mayan elder Eric Gonzalez. One of my primary sources here is indigenous prophecies. And you mentioned, Amira, at the beginning, something about, you know, the native traditions and those sorts of things. I have been profoundly influenced my whole life by not only the Native American traditions, spiritual traditions, but also the traditions from virtually all the indigenous cultures from all around the planet, because they all virtually are telling us the same thing, and they spiritually all end up at precisely the same place. And one of the reasons they end up at the same place in terms of their conclusions and in terms of their spirituality and their belief systems is because they derive their knowledge from the same source. And where they derive their knowledge from is they derive their knowledge from the natural world, from the natural world in which they live, and from the forces of the natural world in which they live. So I'm very, very strongly influenced by what I refer to as indigenous traditions and the indigenous prophecies, again, which all virtually say the same thing regarding this time that we're living in. Another one of my sources, a very important source, is science, and we can get into the scientific aspect of this if you want to, but there's all kinds of scientific features of the shift in terms of their scientific evidence that these energy fields are shifting, and you know, there's a scientific aspect of this having to do with the Earth's electromagnetic fields and global warming and a bunch of other stuff. There are two other sources that are important sources for me. One is the spirit world. And many of the things that I've learned have been not only channeled to me, but have also been channeled through other channels to me and to others too, not just me. But we are being given, we are being sent many, many messages from the spirit world, which also tell us an awful lot about this time that we're living in. But you know, Amira, one of the sources of my information and all of our information, I mean all of us, not just me, but all of us on this topic, one of our most important sources of information on this is our experience of it. In other words, how we experience our world, how we experience, you know, what's going on around us. And virtually everybody at this point can feel on the basis of their own personal experience that something really unprecedented is going on in the world right now. We can all feel that. We can not only see it in terms of a lot of the things that are happening in the old paradigm, in terms of you know, the old paradigm kind of falling apart. You know, we can see that, and we can experience that, and we can feel that. But we can also feel a lot of other things going on in our world today. And this primarily is a function of what I referred to at the beginning. If we're talking about a shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields at this time, it's a function of that. And we can feel that. We can feel that in our bodies. We can feel this higher frequency energy. And our perceptions of things are even different as a result of this. You know, it seems like time itself is speeding up. It seems like life itself is intensifying and accelerating. And all those things are indeed happening, and those are things we can experience. We can feel those things. You know, we ultimately, we human beings, we are energy, and we are energy that, you know, that vibrates at a certain frequency. And so we are able to detect and pick up these shifting energies around us. And this is particularly true for people who are really plugged into their spirituality. Because for people who are plugged into their spirituality, this is indeed this is an amazing time right now, and we can see amazing things beginning to happen to people who are, you know, plugged into the forces that we're talking about. So there's several sources of information, and we basically know most of what we know about the shift from a lot of different sources and a lot of different ways. And I'll tell you one source that we can't give a whole lot of credence to. We're not going to hear a whole lot about this in the mainstream media. We're not going to hear a whole lot about this on the TV. We might hear some of the doomsday stuff on TV. But that's one place where we really aren't going to hear a whole lot about this, because that's a medium that's controlled and rigged.
Yeah, I'll you know, agree with you wholeheartedly with that one. And you know what? Just as you said that, I was also, as much as I agree with it, I'm also saying, you know what? We can shift that too. You know, and it's where we put our attention. You know, and who do we connect with? If we connect with Oprah, and then she starts taking it, you know, she's got a voice that, you know, mainstream media is listening to, of sorts, then, you know, maybe we'll see it there. So let's all look for that and intend that.
Well, Mary, you keep me informed on that, okay? Because my TV is pretty firmly turned off these days.
I did too.
I don't watch any of it, and I don't know what's going on there. And I really don't choose to because it's just
You know what's really interesting is I've had some communication and connections with people that are very advanced technologically, and internet TV is going to be the way of the future, and so that way they can't really control what you watch. You can dial into whatever it is that you choose. So that's very exciting. So maybe that's how the shift will support us with media and technology. I know there will be a lot of things.
Okay. I'm not going to I won't take issue with you. If it happens that way, I say more power to it.
Well, Jack, I mean, who would have thought? I mean, I just knew about Blog Talk Radio a little over a year ago. And so this whole opportunity platform that's opening up for all of us to have voice and to connect, and this whole wave of social media has changed so much of our world in just 1 or 2 years.
And you're absolutely correct about that. I think what you and what so many people are doing in the internet radio arena right now really is awesome in terms of there's an awful lot of messengers like you who are getting a lot of very important messages out there. And I agree with that. It appears to be actually revolutionary in its scope. So congratulations.
Yeah, and I got to say that when I approached you and when I went to the Conscious Life Expo, my intention was I had to connect or collect people, voices and faces who have not been seen or heard. And I hear that over and over and over in my head, Jack, is that, I'm like, me? Why me? I don't have anything to say. So I went through my own personal process of putting myself out there. And yet I've been feeling this big old push behind me. I have no choice. I have a choice, yes. But it's like a huge push to help support the method and wake people up and share information that possibly people wouldn't have access to.
Yeah, it's all about the message. It's all about the message. I've definitely been guided that there's only one thing that I need to pay attention to, and that's the message.
I've been
told, don't worry about the money. Don't worry how many people come to your talk. Don't worry about how many people buy your book. Don't worry about anything. We'll take care of that. You just put yourself 100% into the position of getting the message out there, and the rest will take care of itself. And I've been doing that now for years, and everything has just worked perfectly.
Awesome. Well, great. I'm going to need to take a sip of water, and we can take a brief commercial break, and we'll be back shortly.
Okay.
What is your next project going to be? Do you need a new voicemail system for that new business? Maybe you've written a new book, or you've created a new video game, a new podcast, a new blog or website, or maybe you've begun to host your own radio show. Well, guess what? You need a voiceover artist, and that's where Two Ideas Voiceover Services has the right voice for you. Go to www.deborahakbar.com. That's DeborahAkbar.com. This program is brought to you by Amira Hall of www.miraclementoring.com and Mary Lomondo of www.pashatera.com. They are your spiritual tour guides to Egypt. Amira and Mary will guide you on a journey that is the trip of a lifetime. Are you ready to take the next big step in your conscious evolution? Would you like to connect with latent DNA memories, soul secrets, or forbidden knowledge that has been buried for lifetimes? This is an extraordinary time when awareness and awakening of consciousness is accelerating, and it's your time to embrace all of who you are. Amira and Mary invite you to join them on their upcoming journey to Egypt in March 2010 to activate your light codes. Egypt holds energetic keys to unlock amazing power within you. So to find out more on how you can join the tour, visit www.miraclementoring.com. If you'd like to be a sponsor of an upcoming episode, contact info@lessonsfromthelightradio.com. And now, let's return to our show.
Welcome back. This is My special guest is Jack Alice, a true Renaissance man who is sharing with us his well-earned information and commitment to the shift. And he's sharing with us insights that I think shed a whole lot of hope and understanding on what this is. And I know that I'm ever excited about what is going on around us. And I know there's a lot of people out there, Jack, with questions and have fear or feel like they might as well just give up. What would you have to say for that, and how do you respond when people react with fear or hopelessness?
Can I back up just a second here, Amira, and I'm not going to dodge your question here, and I'll get to it in a sec, but there's one other thing that I really think people need to know about all this. And I think in addressing, you know, what I'm about to address, I think I may also kind of segue into the question about how do people manage their fear and a lot of the negative emotions that come up in relationship to this. When I make the statement that it's all about our spirituality and our higher consciousness in terms of how do we do this, you know, those are our primary methods in how we do this. You know, those are our primary tools. Our primary tools are our higher consciousness and our spirituality. Those are our primary source of our power, and it's the primary source of our protection, you know, in these changing times. Well, a lot of people might say, well, you know, great, you know, what does that mean? You know, a little bit vague. You know, what do you mean by spirituality is our tool? What do you mean by we use our higher consciousness to do this? Can you be a little bit more specific about that? So let's really break it down in terms of what this means. And this also answers the question, you know, that people have about, you know, what can I do or what should I do? And this, Amira, is an area where I'm going to agree with Mark in terms of where we really get back to ancient spiritual wisdom that goes way, way back. And this is something I believe. I'm a big fan of universalism as far as spirituality is concerned. You know, I don't like to talk about, you know, one particular kind of God, or I don't like to name my gods or, you know, any of that, or have different kind of religious sects. I like to focus on what all spiritual people from all traditions can agree upon, you know, in a universal kind of way. And in my opinion, as far as the power of our spirituality is concerned, what I'm about to say is something that virtually every spiritual tradition in the history of the planet, this is something that they would all agree upon. And it has to do with the whole question of when we as human beings are at our spiritual peak. You know, if we're using our spirituality as a source of our power, when are we at our spiritual peak in terms of doing this? And let's again get into breaking this down in terms of how all this works. We reach our spiritual peak. We raise our energetic frequency, if you can put it that way, or we reach our peak spiritually, which empowers us by virtue of how we live our life here on Earth. And specifically, we reach that spiritual peak, the spiritual peak where we are optimally spiritually empowered. We reach that spiritual peak by experiencing life with certain feelings. And specifically, the feelings that we experience that allow us to reach that peak are feelings of peacefulness, joy, love, and gratitude.
You know, that's so fascinating, and I appreciate you sharing that, because I've been out in the world going to the market and running to Trader Joe's or getting gas or whatever it is and trying to maintain and hold those vibrations. And sometimes, lately, it's been real tough.
Well,
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, what I'm, you know, I'm conscious of it. I know it, and I'm wanting to be it. And I'll tell you, the challenge is being it 100%. It's challenging being it 70% or even 50%. And I'm very, very sensitive to energies, and I feel like waves of energy of that fear and hopelessness all around me that I bump up against, and it knocks me over.
Right.
And then makes me grumpy.
Well, I think a lot of that, Amira, I think is just simply a function of, you know, how we are conditioned and how we're set up as human beings. In this, we live in a crazy culture. You know, I mean, this culture we live in is not normal. It's very unplugged, if you will, as far as the spiritual aspect of things. And when we're conditioned in a culture like this, it does become a challenge. And if we could all just do it, you know, wave a magic wand and do it, that would be one thing. But these are things, and I'm still working at it too. You know, it's one thing to say the words. You know, it's one thing to say that, you know, what I am doing is part of my own ascension process. What I'm endeavoring to do is I'm endeavoring to live every moment of my life with feelings of peacefulness, joy, love, and gratitude. It's one thing to say those words, and it's another thing to do it. I think 70% is pretty darn good, Amira.
What I do notice is for any of you who travel a lot, when you go to a place like Peru or Guatemala or Egypt, you know, I find that those people radiate love, not like we do here. You know, love for us is in bed.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there's a whole different vibe of just graciousness and kindness and consideration that is not happening down here in Southern California.
Well, and let me just shed a little bit, just shift over a little bit and shed a little bit of light on that in terms of what I experienced when I was at Deer Mountain. Because what I experienced at Deer Mountain was one of the things that was so unique about that experience, and this is something that I brought home with me and I've incorporated into my own life, and believe me, it really, really is working wonders for me. And this is a personal thing. I mean, it's in my personal and professional life, but primarily in my personal life. Everything we did for 4 days at Deer Mountain was ceremony. Everything we did for 4 days was ceremony. We were up at sunrise every day. We had sunrise pipe ceremonies. We had sunrise sweat lodges. We had an all-night prayer vigil. We had work ceremonies in the afternoon. We gathered water as a ceremony. All of our meals were a ceremony. Everything that we did for 4 days was a ceremony. When one lives one's life that way, and basically what a ceremony means is you just sanction what you're doing, you know, as something.
You're in present moment.
Yeah,
you're not worried about
you sanction what you're doing as sacred, and then you everything that you do in life, you open it, you turn it into a ceremony, you begin it with a blessing or a prayer, and prayers and blessings always consist of two things. One thing, the first thing they consist of is gratitude. You need to thank the divine spirit for all the wonderful blessings in this world. And the other part of any prayer is asking for guidance, you know, as we continue, you know, on our path in life, and ask for guidance in terms of being able to experience life every moment with feelings of peacefulness, joy, and love. And
so it's like bringing the monastery or the sweat lodge or whatever temple into the world, into everyday living. It's instead of going to the mountain, you're bringing the mountain into your heart.
Right, but the main point I want to make about this is, as far as being able to experience life in this peaceful, joyous way, I was certainly able to do that during those 4 days much, much more than I'm able to do back, you know, back here in Wisconsin, you know, where I'm writing my book and you know, doing all the things I need to do, you know, to survive in the third dimension. So when one, you know, turns life into a ceremony, and when one really endeavors to do these things, you know, with their intention, it becomes a heck of a lot easier, you know, to actually do it. And I think there's an important key in there for people as far as, you know, the how do we do these things part. Because one of the important tools we use is to bring more ceremony into your life. And if you're doing things, you know, let's say you do 10 major things, you know, during the course of any day, you transform those 10 things that you do into 10 ceremonies. And you simply, you know, you open each one of those things with a blessing or a prayer, and then you approach it from the point of view of living those experiences, you know, with reverence and through paying attention.
I'm sorry, Jack.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's like a living spirituality is what this whole shift is all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, I say the sense of instead of, you know, like I know someone that is joining a monastery and separating themselves from this life, and I understand that. But on the other hand, all of us can't go running in monastery. It's like we have to create our monasteries right where we are right now.
Absolutely. Good, good. You said that very well. You said that very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so let's go back to the fear issue, because I know that many people are afraid of taking the steps and or watching too much TV or listening to all these, you know, doom and gloomers. What do you say to that?
Well, one thing I say to it is it's very important for us to have a healthy relationship with our emotions. You know, and fear is one of our human emotions, and there's a healthy aspect to fear. You know, fear is there for a reason. You know, we feel fear because fear allows us in certain situations. You know, fear allows us to, you know, adapt and to do things about, you know, situations, you know, dangerous kinds of situations. So fear, you know, it serves a purpose. The first thing people need to know about fear is they need to know that in the context of, and then back up to what we said at the beginning here, one of the reasons people feel a lot of fear in relationship to this is because the world that they are comfortable with and familiar with is, you know, crumbling around them. And that's causing a lot of people to feel a lot of fear because, you know, they were raised to believe that this is the world they were going to live in for their whole life, and they expected it to stay there. And when it begins to fall apart, they become frightened, and they want to, you know, reinstate it. They want it to hold up. One thing I would tell the people in that context is it's totally appropriate for one to be frightened under circumstances like this. It's totally appropriate to be frightened, you know, when our world's being pulled out from underneath us. It's totally appropriate. What we need to be careful of always in relationship to negative emotions like fear and anxiety and hatred and those kinds of things, the primary thing we need to be wary of in this regard is that we don't get stuck in our fear. And a mantra that I like to use in this regard is, go ahead, and I got this from one of the most important influences on me and everything I do is Carlos Castaneda from the Don Juan books, you know, back in the 1970s.
Uh-huh.
Don Juan always told Carlos a very important mantra regarding Carlos's emotions. He said, go ahead and feel your emotions. Go ahead and feel your fear. Go ahead and feel whatever emotion you need to feel. Just don't indulge in it. In other words, our emotions get to the point where we get stuck in them, or we get addicted to them, or they become, you know, who and what we are. You know, we fall in love with them, and pretty soon it becomes a question of, we're not afraid because there's some external event out there in our life that's making us afraid. We're more afraid because fear is a part of our core. It's a part of our core being. And if we don't have something to be afraid about, we'll go find something to be afraid about and just, you know, project it out there.
I have a good friend like that.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people like that. So very often it becomes a question of, you know, working on one's fear internally in terms of, you know, this is a personal issue, you know, that we all need to work through. And just to make sure that we don't get stuck in it, to make sure that we don't indulge in it. Because our fear basically is telling us, hey, we need to do something about this. We need to do something about whatever it is that's causing our fear. But when we do whatever we need to do to remedy that situation and we're still afraid, then it's a question of us looking to ourselves in terms of, hey, the problem isn't out there. The problem isn't, you know, whatever's going on in the world. The problem's in here. It's with me. I need to learn how to become less afraid of life. And as far as fear is concerned, too, a very important lesson regarding fear, and this is fear in the context of spirituality, and this is something, a very important lesson that I learned, and I learned it about a year and a half ago. Last June here in Wisconsin, we were having, you know, doomsday-level rains. It was raining so hard. The whole Midwest United States was basically filling up like a bathtub, and it was very scary, and I noticed myself getting scared, and I was saying to myself, you know, is this it? Is it happening? Is it time to build a boat? Is it time to, you know, is it time to go somewhere else? And I was feeling a lot of fear in relationship to that. But then all of a sudden the light bulb went off in my head. And it kind of clicked and it went off and it said, you know, Jack, the reason you know this, the reason you are afraid is because your spirituality isn't really properly aligned right now. Because, and I knew this, but I just kind of slipped away from it. Because whenever our spirituality is properly aligned, whenever we're connected to the divine spirit of a living universe, and when we're connected to, you know, Grandmother Earth, you know, with our vibration, you know, in a harmonious fashion, there is never, ever anything to fear. And I learned that back, I hit rock bottom in my own life about 5-6 years ago. I had virtually nothing. I had 17 cents left and no food, and I went through one of those things in my own life. So I had a lot to be afraid of. But one of the things that I learned during that period of time is I learned that during that period of time where I had nothing and where I had plenty to be afraid of, what I did during that period of time of my life was I really, really connected with my spirituality, because that was all I had left. I had nothing left. All I had was my spirituality. But all of a sudden I said to myself, hey, that's all I need. That's all I need. All I need is my connection with the divine spirit. That's what's going to get me through this. And you know what? It did. But that's the lesson that we need to hang on to as far as fear and as far as overcoming fear, because it always comes back to getting ourselves properly aligned spiritually. Because when we're properly aligned spiritually, there is never, ever anything to be afraid of. Because we know that we're energy, we know that we're consciousness, we know that our energy and our consciousness is not going anywhere, ever. We learn that this life is in this world is just a blip on the radar screen anyway. It's not too terribly important. And we get everything, into the proper perspective. And one of the quotes I like to give in relationship to this, and I'll never forget it. It was from Muhammad Ali back in the days when he was, a young strapping, young heavyweight fighter, and quite the sensation. And then he had his problems with the draft and going to jail, and he was pretty much, taken down by the system. And I'll never forget his quote way back when he was going through all of his problems. He said, "You can take everything from me. You can take all my money. You can take my heavyweight crown. You can take all my material goods. You can take everything from me. You cannot strip me of my spirit."
Yeah,
Godspeed. Go ahead and do whatever you're going to do. My spirit lives on. And that's the key to it all.
Is really knowing who we are at the core and really owning that.
And trusting our connection with spirit.
Right.
Our connection with spirit.
Absolutely. I was going to say we are spirit, but yeah, it's.
Well, that's part of the connection.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right.
Now that's amazing, and I really think that's a great reminder that nobody can take anything from us.
Absolutely. Not unless we let them.
And Jack, it's interesting. Over the last year, I personally went through the process of selling everything and letting go of my personal possessions. And I know a lot of people that are in this process also. It just seems quite a trend.
Was it liberating for you, Amira?
It's been a lot of things, and that's when I really got real clear. It's like everything that I've been committed to for the last decade, it's like pour it on like you've never poured anything on, like you really mean business.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't have anything to distract me right now.
Uh-huh.
It is all my work and the purpose of what we're here for.
Well,
so,
and plus when something does come along that does distract you, then you know that distraction is coming from within you, because it's not a function of any of the stuff in your world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it is liberating. It was a huge, what I call, growth period, because there's that huge, amount of time where I go, holy cow, I don't have any furniture. Holy cow, I don't have, the house. Holy cow, and I'm not where I live. This is all temporary. I mean, a lot of adjustments in my head.
Mm-hmm.
What things I counted on or took for granted and didn't appreciate.
Right.
I would hope
at some point in there too, you'd say to yourself, well, look at all these things I don't have anymore. I don't have the house. I don't have this. I don't have that. And then you ask yourself the question, well, what do I have? Well, I've got my connection with spirit. What else do I need?
In many ways, I feel fuller. I feel like I have more space. I feel I'm more clear. I feel like I am liberated beyond what I could have imagined it to be. I had no, and we're all sold this lie that, the American dream is, owning a home and a plot of land and you do this and you're happy, and that's a lie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
yeah.
I want to talk back to what you say a lot, or you talk about the importance of the dark side in all this. What is the dark side?
We just have a couple minutes left.
Oh, well, you know what? We've got it till 11:30.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I was mistaken.
Okay.
Our show is going till 11:30, so for all of you that need an extra cup of coffee, go for it. or make some chamomile tea.
let me just take a drink here, and we'll approach the dark side, because this is a pretty juicy topic here. Let me just a second here.
Yes, it is. Everybody can take a deep breath.
I'm drinking spring water from Genesee Depot, Wisconsin. There's a spring over there, and a bunch of people started a bottling, a water bottling company there, and they sell this, spring water that comes from deep within the earth, and they deliver it to my house once a month. And I want to tell you, when I don't know if you do anything similar to this, but when all of a sudden you're drinking spring water in your life as your primary source of water, it has completely changed my relationship with water. This water I'm drinking is got this spirit essence, and it just has all these vital this vitality that I've never experienced in water before. And I also have my water bottle with me now, and I've developed a very intimate relationship with my water. I love it.
Wow. Well, that's 80% of what we are.
Well, absolutely. Plus, I don't trust the tap water anymore, and a lot of even a lot of the water bottled water has a lot of stuff in it that they don't tell us about.
Yeah. I'm quite aware of all of that. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, good water is highly important to, well, considering that we're energy and water is a conductor of that current.
It's an essential part of the ascension process.
Yeah,
clean, pure, vital water. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, the dark side. Let's get into the dark side. Now, this is a very kind of hot, controversial aspect of all this, because this is one area where a lot of the people in the, and I don't quite know what to call this movement, because I never have been comfortable calling it the New Age movement, because the New Age movement has become so contaminated with so much garbage. But there are an awful lot of people in this spirituality movement who really don't think we should talk about this. They don't think we should talk about the dark side, and we don't think we should talk about that aspect of things, of this topic, because they claim that when we talk about it, we give it power and we give it energy, and so we should just ignore it and not say anything and hope it goes away. I profoundly disagree with that. And what I mean when I refer to the dark side is we do have an adversary. We do have an adversary. We spiritual people who are endeavoring to, create the new world of light and spirit. We have an adversary in the world that would like to see us not do that. And this adversary I'm referring to is, and let's just refer to them as the hidden powers that own and control the world. The hidden powers that own and control the world, and basically create a very vast world of illusion that traps people. It traps people into this illusion wherein people are basically tricked into giving up their freedom and into giving up their spirit. It is a world, this world of illusion is a world of dependency. It's a world wherein we unknowingly become dependent upon forces outside of ourselves to take care of us, i.e. the system. Our government, our good old government here in the United States of America, is endeavoring to what? To take care of us from cradle to grave. In other words, they're going to provide everything we need, in return for us being, good little servants. Now, I would maintain that this illusion that we're being, tricked into, is pretty nasty. In terms of pulling the wool over people's eyes. And the other thing this illusion does is it definitely cuts us off from the true source of our multidimensional power. It cuts us off from our spirituality. It turns us into slaves, basically, slaves to the system. It's exceedingly important for people to know understand how this game is played, how this dependency game is played, how this illusion game is played, to know how this game is played so that we can detach ourselves from it, get loose from it, and so that we can do the one primary thing that is the most important in all this. And this is a critically important feature of the shift and creating the new paradigm. and our ascension process also. And the part that I'm referring to is the part wherein we, the human beings of the planet Earth, reassume complete responsibility for ourselves.
Oh, hallelujah, Jack. You said it.
Complete responsibility for taking care of ourselves, for providing for our own vital needs. That's why forming these sustainable communities that Earth Peoples United are doing. That's why forming sustainable communities are so vitally important, to learn how to take care of ourselves again. And that's one of the messages that I got from Eric on your show 2 months ago, to learn how to take care of ourselves again, to learn how to grow our own food, to learn how to provide our own energy, whatever energy we might need other than, you know, the sunshine, and to learn how to take care of ourselves again. And that is a critically important feature of what I refer to also as the spiritual ascension process. We cannot be spiritually ascendant if we are dependent upon something external to us for so much of our life. You know, we need to take responsibility for that ourselves, and that is a source from which, you know, our power comes, being able to take care of ourselves in this manner. So I think it's vitally important that we do talk about this, and I think it's vitally important that people know how this insidious game perperpetrated by what I refer to as the dark side is played, because these are people or beings, whatever we want to call them, who do not have our best interest at heart and whose agenda basically is one in which we become chattel, you know, in their system, in their agenda. We just become, you know, numbers as part of this little game that they're playing. And they have succeeded very well at pulling the wool over, you know, people's eyes for a long, 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 long time. And a time right now is upon us, you know, wherein people are really starting to wake up to this. They're starting to wake up to, you know, this game that's being played, this hoax, this illusion that's being, you know, perpetrated upon folks. And one of the reasons, Amira, why people are waking up to this at this time is because so many of the features of the old paradigm that we referred to before, for example, the financial collapse that has been going on for a while now. When people look at that and they go, you mean they've been lying to us this whole time? You know, people were told certain things about how the financial system worked that we can look at it now and we can go, they're lying to us. That's not how it works. and look at it. And you know, so people can see it. They can see that the system is not, you know, what it was cracked up to be. And this isn't only happening in that arena. It's happening in many other arenas. So people begin to not trust the system quite as much and begin to believe that they've been sold a false bill of goods, which they have been.
Right. And
so
then
wake up to how the world really works, to wake up to how this game is really played. Detach from it. You don't have to get stuck in it. You know, there's people who, you know, when we talk about the New World Order and when we talk about, you know, this global government that is looming, you know, on the horizon, you know, it's moving in our direction. There are so many people who just get stuck in this, and they're on the internet all day long, and they're learning about all this stuff, and pretty soon this all becomes fear-based, and it all becomes, the message you get from these folks is, you know, we're screwed. Well, that's not the message here. But if you spend all day thinking about it, and if you spend all day on the internet learning about it, you might start feeling that way after a while, because it seems, you know, it seems way too big to do anything about. What people need to do is they need to learn how the game is played. And once you know how the game is played, you don't need to spend any more time on it. You just detach from it. You just detach from it. That's all. And then you go about what really matters in life. And what really matters in life is, you know, getting our spirituality right, getting our energy right. That's where we need to be focused, and that's where we always need to be focused.
On our health and how is our physical well-being our personal responsibility. You know, you talked about drinking good, healthy, clean water that has a high resonance to it. You know, eating proper foods, you know, refusing to buy those packaged foods just because it's easy and you're tired. You know, taking personal responsibility rather than running to the doctor when you have a little, you know, crick or, an indigestion to pop some more pills.
You know what I recommend people do when they get sick? Nothing.
I think that's great.
Getting sick is our body's way of saying, hey, pay attention to me. And we can't pay attention to our bodies unless, A, we stop and we pay attention to it, focus on it. What's it telling me? What do I need to do? What's the lesson here? I had a crick in my neck about 10 days ago. Have you ever had a crick in your neck? You have a point where you turn your head in either direction. It's just pain that is just, you know, beyond description.
It's cranky, yeah.
I had one of those about 2 weeks ago. It was really bad, and it was scary. I'm going, God, if this doesn't go away, you know, I'm going to be crippled. I mean, it was really awful. And I fought it for about a day in terms of, oh, you know, I can't do it. You know, I've got to do what I got to do here. I can't, you know, give in. And finally, after a day, I said, okay, I will pay attention to you. I'll do whatever I need to do to pay attention to you and to learn what I need to learn here and to make this go away. As soon as I said that, I started feeling better.
Yeah,
as soon as I said, okay, I'm going to start paying attention to you. I'm going to learn what I need to learn here, and I'm going to do what I need to do, you know, to get healthy in this part of my body. As soon as I said those words, I started feeling better. And I spent the next 24 hours aligning myself. I thought about very little other than my spine and my neck and my back. I aligned myself in a certain way when I slept that night. The next morning, I just stayed in bed an additional like 3 hours, just lied there, feeling like, you know, healing energies were flowing down my spine. And within 24 hours, it's not entirely healed, but it's 80% healed to the point where I'm, you know, back to normal, back to functioning normally. So it was my body's way of saying, hey, look at me. You're not paying
and
enough,
get
not,
the energy flowing.
Attention.
Yeah, and you have enough consciousness and awareness to know that there's other tools in the bag, and you pulled open your doctor's bag, and you let the energy start flowing, and you consciously directed that energy to change your outpicturing or your outpicturing results.
As opposed to you feel a pain and you go, oh my gosh, I'm a helpless victim. I need to go to somebody who can fix me.
And I have to go to an MD, that's somebody that's got a white coat that really knows their stuff.
Somebody who knows my body better than I do.
Exactly, right. Yeah, we have a caller that's been ever so patient with us here, and I welcome you to the call, and I understand you have a question for our guest.
Yes. You have a book out, Jack?
I do. My book is entitled Infinity's Flower, A Tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of the Ages. May I give my website, Amira, so people can go
Absolutely.
There?
Absolutely. Please.
Yeah, thanks.
You may go to my website, and my books and my DVD and everything is there. The website is www.jackallis.com. And my books are there, and my DVD is there, and I'm currently also writing a new book, scheduled to be out probably December or so. Don't have a title yet. What do you think about titles, Amira? What do you think about Don't Wait for 2012, The Shift is Now?
I got a few.
You like that one?
I have a few.
I like short titles, The Shift is Now.
Uh-huh.
It resonates with me.
Okay. Anyway.
That's actually a pretty good one.
Okay. Go ahead. Well, I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off there, sir. What was your question?
All right. Basically, everything that you've like been talking about, and the most recent thing with water, healing water. I actually first thing I decided to learn at age 15 was ancient cultures. So I, you know, did all that, and then I moved into like quantum physics. And I guess you could say I'm probably the only scientist that's doing quantum physics experiments with what some people call paranormal, this higher self, you know, the outcome of your intentions and how powerful that is. But with the water, I seen an experiment where a mental prayer, I guess you could say, or ritual was done to the water, and there was a pleasant formation of the water, almost like a snowflake. Have you heard of that experiment?
Well, there's the Japanese guy that does the
yeah, that's it. That's it.
What is his name?
Kurimoto.
I don't remember.
Okay, that sounds right. Uh-huh.
Right. And then when the negative ritual was done, the water gave back what I guess a human would understand, something displeasant, you know what I mean, to the eye.
Right.
Which made sense to me. So what I decided to do was, okay, is water conscious, and can you kill water? All right? And I did find one way to kill water, and that was to microwave it.
Oh, sure. There's a lot of ways to kill water.
Right.
Wow.
Well, I mean, really kill the essence of its life-giving force, because I had a plant that, you know, I did it. Actually, I wasn't the only one that did it. A woman did it also, and she had the same outcome. And the plant that, you know, was water with the microwave water, could not thrive. It just died. It tried, but didn't work. But yeah, basically, I guess the question I have is your opinions on science actually starting to show this now.
Well, the scientific aspect of this is very, very intriguing. And my guess would be, if you know about the things you know about, what is it, ancient cultures and quantum physics, right? Is that what you said?
Right. But how I'm using the quantum physics is I'll go out and do an experiment. All right, like, let me see, one paranormal thing was, you know, EVPs, where are they coming from? So I went out and did an experiment to do that, guessing, okay, I'll get back relevant information on specific questions that I asked, you know, which I did, and I thought that was very, very interesting, among other things. But I see a lot of, another example, in the Aborigine people, there's two of them left. There's a grandfather and a grandson that remember their ancient ways. And this was actually on TV. It was a documentary where he showed you this is how it works. This is how you fish and you get fish. And he got one fish, and he said something's wrong, and they did a ritual, and they put mud around the trees, and they, you know, they asked, they told, you know, their higher self or whatever you want to call it, the ultimate observer is what it's called in quantum physics, that, you know, we're hungry, we need fish, he brought more people. He was so confident he brought nets and caught like 150 fish.
Huh. Okay.
And there's only two of them left. So I understand that because you see it happen over and over again. When you can predict, you know, what the outcome of the experiment is going to be before you do it, that's pretty good proof.
Right. Well, let me just say a little bit about how science fits into all this as far as the shift and everything. And I'm certain that this is something that – what's your name, sir?
William.
I'm sure this is something that William knows about. He probably knows more about it than me because I am not a scientist, although I do know quite a bit about quantum physics and those sorts of things.
That's awesome.
We need to make a distinction. We're talking about shifting from an old paradigm to a new paradigm. And in this context, we need to make the distinction between old paradigm science and new paradigm science because it's a completely different ballgame. Old paradigm science is as goofed up as most of the things are in the old paradigm. It's just way off base. And one of the reasons that old paradigm science is so goofed up is because it is very limited in terms of how it examines things. You know, one of the things that the old paradigm scientists did was is they wanted to make sure that they had scientific outcomes or scientific experiments in which everything could be measured, you know, accurately. In their laboratories and their experiments, it needed to be measured concretely. You know, you need to be able to show it on paper and in the lab, those kinds of things. They wanted it to be, you know, accurate, you know, within, you know, 99% or whatever it was. In doing that, they needed to throw out all kinds of variables. They needed to throw out the variable of consciousness. Consciousness goofed everything up. They needed to throw out the variable of God. God goofed everything up. The divine spirit.
God's back in quantum physics now, but God is actually very big in quantum physics now.
And that's what's so wonderful about quantum physics. It's definitely
they're looking for the God particle. They're calling it. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's right on too. In terms of quantum physics, is definitely an example of a form of new paradigm science, and I would definitely call quantum physics a new paradigm science because I think that's really the first area where a lot of the Western scientists started discovering a lot of these things. They started looking at the old paradigm model, and they said, well, it's just not holding up in this world anymore. So as far as new paradigm science is concerned, there are a few it's essential to understand new paradigm science in order to understand the shift, essentially. Because what is the shift? Well, one of the definitions of the shift is a shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields. Now, when we're talking about the Earth's vital energy fields in this context, we are basically talking about a different kind of energy. We're not talking about the kind of electromagnetic energy that, you know, flows through the wires of our computers and that sort of thing. That's a very, very limited, low frequency kind of energy, if you will. We're talking about a higher frequency energy, and we're also talking about a form of energy that is more inclusive. I've heard this energy referred to as holographic energy because it isn't subject to the same restrictions that the old paradigm science would put upon the things that it measures. By holographic energy, what we mean is it is energy, but it is also energy that includes consciousness. So in other words, new paradigm science is going to look at the whole, is going to look at the whole picture, as opposed to just, you know, tiny parts of the picture, and attempt to get that kind of a holistic perspective. And so we're talking about a different kind of energy, and we're talking about a holographic world, a world that does include consciousness. And by consciousness here, we're not only referring to our individual consciousness, say me as a scientific experimenter. My consciousness as a scientific experimenter and evaluator needs to be factored into these experiments that we're doing. But we're also talking about a much bigger form of consciousness. We're talking about the consciousness of a living universe. One of the things that old paradigm science did in order to create a world that they could measure, they basically killed their world. They deadened it. They sterilized it. So they got a world, you know, they got rid of God, they got rid of consciousness, and now they could measure their world, but they were basically measuring a dead world. New paradigm science looks at the world, looks at the universe in a completely different way. It doesn't look at the world as dead. It looks at the entire universe, at the entire world as alive, alive with consciousness, alive with energy. Every particle of the universe is alive with consciousness and energy, and this includes rocks. Now, this is a very new paradigm, expanded paradigm way of looking at science. But, like everything else in the new paradigm, that's what's involved here. What's involved here is looking at our world differently and looking at it holographically, looking at it holistically, as opposed to shrinking it down and basically killing it. So there's just a few thoughts on new science versus old science. And, you know, a lot of this, too, Amir, is very, very important to put in here. In many ways, we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants here, because a lot of the things that I'm talking about and that we're talking about in the new paradigm movement, these are things that we don't know for sure yet. You know, this is new frontier here. A lot of the things that I'm talking about to you is new frontier. It's stuff that I know with my spirituality, but I may not know it, you know, as well with my rational mind at this point as I could. But as you know, any time you venture into a new frontier, you need to take chances, and you need to take creative chances. Look at Einstein, for example. You know, Einstein didn't come up with his theories because he figured it all out on paper, and there they were. Einstein came to the conclusions he did based on intuitive thoughts that he had about how the universe worked. And then as soon as he formed those intuitive thoughts in his head about how the universe worked, then he endeavored to sit down and, you know, in his lab and with his equations, and he endeavored to prove it, which he did. So it starts with intuition. It starts with creative thought. And then after that, we endeavor to prove it. So this is a very new frontier kind of thing. And I can think of nowhere that I'd rather be than, you know, on the board, on the edge of the new frontier and learning new things as we move forward here.
Well, it's very exciting for me. I know I feel like I'm, you know, with the Columbus expedition, you know, heading for a new world, and not sure what I'm going to find, and not knowing, you know, if I brought the right tools or not, but certainly prepared for the adventure. And I know that all of us who are listening to the show and are preparing and doing the work, we've all incarnated at this time for obviously, you know, a bigger purpose. And I do know that in my heart also. So thank you, Jack, for your such eloquent explanation of all that. I don't know that really there is anybody that has all the answers. You know, it's,
no.
I feel like, you know, we could wake up tomorrow and be able to walk through walls. How exciting is that? And how many people are going to freak out? So the holograph.
again, to echo what Don Juan said so often to Carlos Castaneda, he often said, you know, we don't know any of this stuff for sure. We don't have any of the final answers. He said, you know, as human beings, there are certain limits, you know, to which our rational minds can go. And beyond that point, we're just, you know, again, we just don't know. So, you know, the point he was making is, you know, there may not be any final answers here as far as our rational mind is concerned. And we need to, you know, at that point we need to start thinking about these things in, you know, non-rational ways. And like you said at the beginning, Amira, trusting those things.
Well, and we've all been so conditioned to using our intellect to figure things out. And I think part of this whole shift is going inside and listening and, you know, not paying attention to what they're all rambling about, you know, including what we're saying today. I mean, everybody that's listening needs to get their own answers.
The old paradigm is all about figuring things out with our rational mind, coming to a conclusion, and then taking action based upon that conclusion. That's like an old paradigm model. The new paradigm is not about the rational mind. The new paradigm is not even necessarily about taking action. The new paradigm is all about being. The new paradigm is all about emanating. It's all about reaching a vibration and simply emanating that vibration. Somebody says, well, what do I need to do? And my answer to that would be, you don't need to do anything. You just need to emanate. You need to emanate, again, to get back to what I said a little bit earlier, you need to emanate, you know, your feelings of peacefulness, joy, love, and gratitude as much as you possibly can. That's what you need to do. And it all starts there.
And so
I like a world that's a little bit more simple, you know. All we need to do is emanate. We don't need to worry about all that other stuff.
Well, that seems to be the biggest trend, is simplification. And then for all of us to come back to that center. And if you're not radiating peace and love and tranquility, then you need to find a vehicle or a teacher or somebody that can help you get there.
Yep. And we all need help at some point, I believe.
Yeah.
I certainly have had my teachers and my help in my life. I didn't do all this myself. No way.
You know, and you're still doing it. You joined Eric and his group, and you're with me today as we're sharing with each other. And, you know, it's a constant process. It's not, oh, I'm going to open the book, you know, one day a month and get it. It's not through reading that we get this.
And there's nothing I would rather be doing with my time. That's another thing, too. We often talk about, you know, doing the spiritual work or doing this work or doing that work. There is nothing I would rather be doing with my time than embarking upon my own, you know, path of personal and spiritual growth. Everything manifests from there. And if we want certain things in the material world, you know, if we want, you know, a loving partner, if we want money, or if we want a nice house or whatever, those things all manifest from, you know, our spirituality. Our spirit is basically the source of everything.
Well, it looks like we're getting close to our time, Jack, and I want to just thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom and all your experiences. I know that you have a couple of events that you want to share with our listeners that or anywhere where we can go hear you.
Well, right now things are kind of on hold as far as that's concerned. I'm finishing my DVD, I'm finishing my book, and I'm just in the process of beginning to look at next year as a very busy year, being out on the road and going to events and stuff. I'm pretty certain I'm going to be at the I'm 95% certain I'll be at the Conscious Life Expo in LA again this February. And other than that, right now I'm sitting at home doing radio interviews and you know, getting my book done and going to Guatemala to be with Eric and the gang and in ceremony for 5 days in November, and I'm very, very excited about that too. So
well, thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
Please could you share your website again for our listeners so that anybody who hasn't been able to access that, they will have another opportunity.
I would be happy to. It's very simple. jackallis.com, jackallis.com. And it's a fun website. I got lots of bells and whistles and videos and photos, and you can just have all kinds of fun there.
Yeah, well, that's great. And so one thing before we go, I see that we've got a few more minutes. Is there anything that you want to share that we haven't talked about, Jack, that's really, you know, front in your mind?
Let me give a mantra that I like to give, that is, if people, I've kind of already kind of hinted at this but haven't really given the entire mantra. If people just remember one thing that they hear me say here today, remember this, okay? And the mantra is this. The primary source of our protection. We talk about fear and we talk about all the changes that the world is currently going through. The primary source of our protection in the face of these colossal earth changes in the face of these the monumental paradigm shifts. And the primary source of our power to create the new world of light and spirit is our higher consciousness and our spirituality. The primary source of our protection, the primary source of our power. People oftentimes think, oh gosh, you know, how can human beings possibly, you know, if there's a pole shift, for example, or if there's an infrastructure collapse, you know, associated with the old paradigm coming down, or a collapse of our system of money, or whatever, you know, how can just, you know, normal human beings survive such a thing? It just seems too big. It seems too great. Well, it always comes back to that. The primary source of our protection, the primary source of our power is our higher consciousness and our spirituality. For people to take care of themselves in that regard, as far as their higher consciousness and spirituality is concerned, and then follow your guidance from that point forward, you'll be fine, you'll be okay. Not only will you be fine, you'll be okay, you will be playing your part in creating the new world of light and spirit. And it all comes back to that. Yes, we are looking at a time that is going to be, it's going to be challenging. We are going to be faced with some very, very significant challenges in the years ahead, as far as the profound transformations that we're going to be experiencing in our world. But very important for people to know that challenges are, it's one thing to call challenges challenges, but I like to switch that around a little bit, and I like to call challenges actually blessings in disguise. Every challenge that any one of us ever faces in our life here in this world, they are all actually blessings. Challenges are our primary ways of learning what we need to learn and doing what we need to do, you know, on our path of spirituality, on our evolution, in that regard. So these challenges we're looking at are in fact a blessing, and it all comes back to our higher consciousness and spirituality. If people take care of themselves in that regard, they will be fine, and they will be playing their part in creating the new world of light and spirit. And I can think of nothing more exciting than that to be doing with our time.
Absolutely. So wonderfully said, Jack. Thank you for shining your light on us and your wisdom. I truly honor you and appreciate all of what you've done for us today, and help raising the consciousness and lightening our loads and getting us back to work and focusing on what's really the most important thing, which is us.
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you, Amira. It's been an honor to be here with you today. I felt very positive about this today going in, and this was a lot of fun.
Okay, well, have an awesome week, and I'll look forward to talking to you soon, Jack.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, well, and thank you, everybody, for listening and chatting. And our callers, I really appreciate it. Thanks again. Blessings to you. Lessons from the Light.
Thank you for listening to Lessons from the Light Radio. Please join us on our show page and join our friends list or tweet the show. We welcome your comments to support and share with others. And please share the show link with your friends. Please visit Amira's homepage at www.miraclementoring.com. Until next time, blessings from the Light.